here we are on another Thursday, August the 22nd, 2019, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears. Do want to get this programming note in so we don't lose it. If you want to listen to this show again, you can do that on Sunday mornings from 9:10 to 10 a.m. or Tuesday evenings from 6:10 until 7, and Pastor Whitaker's other show, The Pastor Spot, is live every Tuesday from 5:10 to 6 p.m., Wednesday replay from 3:10 to 4 p.m., and a Sunday replay from 8:10 until 9 a.m. And also, if you go to The Pastor Spot on Facebook, you can see live streams of these shows. So there you go. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Scott. Good to have you here in the studio with me, and me in the studio with you, and let's get some talking going on. You know, I was driving into Marion this morning, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing different things, and it just kind of struck me, the neat things, the neat buildings, the things that there are to offer that, for one, we don't pay attention to, and we don't promote enough, and it's hard. It's hard to get people. You know, you have planning commissions, and you have visitors bureaus and those things. But getting everyone to work together and then getting the people on board to say, hey, yeah, we'll come to that and we'll do that, is probably kind of a little bit difficult. And it led me to another thought, and it was this thought. Why don't we personally get involved anymore with people around us? We seem so isolated.
Well, it's interesting because last Friday, we attended the Bratwurst Festival. The station did a two-hour broadcast from the Bratwurst Festival. And the Bratwurst Festival does not seem to be slowing down at all. It seems to be just as popular as it ever was. The people are just as friendly as they ever were. Matter of fact, the story I like to tell, we went to the Bratwurst Festival last week, and we just always have a deal with them, that with the office. They have an office for anybody who's ever been to Bucyrus, that all we need to do the broadcast are three chairs and a table, and they're always glad to give that. And for some reason, when we got there last Friday night, about an hour before the broadcast, the chairs were no problem, but I guess all the tables had been used up. And a lady, who probably was at least 70, I don't know how old she was, but she was working in the office, all of a sudden appeared with two extra chairs than we needed, a box, and some tape. She was going to build a table.
Oh, wow.
And nobody asked. And nobody asked her.
Isn't that great?
Nobody asked. And she was wearing a dirndl, which is the garb that you wear for the Bratwurst Festival. And those are expensive. She could have torn that. She could have... I was just
Wait
so
a minute,
impressed.
Went back. What was she dirndl. Wearing?
Dirndl. I just learned this in the last two
okay,
years.
I need to hear this.
A dirndl is that dress that Germans wear. You've seen it that the women wear.
Yes.
That's called a dirndl.
A dirndl.
Dirndl.
Okay.
If you ever wanted to order one.
Not a dirndl dress, just a dirndl.
Just a dirndl.
Okay,
yeah.
That's interesting.
But she's wearing this, and if you look at these dirndls, it's kind of interesting. They do cost a lot of dough to order, though. You can't go down to the local Walmart and buy a dirndl. And she could have torn that thing. These were wooden chairs. She could have, but she was going. And I even said to her, I said, no, we can go without a table. Don't worry about it. She was going to make sure that that table was done. And I thought, you know, this, it makes you want to come back. It makes you want to do things.
And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the attitude and the spirit of cooperation with people. And we have become such an isolated culture. Everybody, this is my area, this is my space, don't worry about my space, I'll do what I want in my space, and you do what you want in yours. There's a person down the road from me that their place might as well be a landfill, okay? But to them, that's their space. And they don't really care that they have neighbors that would love to have a nice space that have to look at that every day. And I think to myself, what's really odd is that there was a time in our culture when we would just kindly talk to people and say, hey, can I help you clean that up? But today when you do that, people mind your own business and get on your own side of the fence. And it's just kind of I think that sometimes, in a way, people are almost too afraid to invade someone else's space, to get involved. Like, I'll give you an example. A coworker, say you have a coworker, and you see him going down a wrong road, doing something that, or something that's going to get him in trouble at work, or whatever the case may be. You know, where is the spirit of saying, hey, look, you know, I need to point this out to you, and everyone, this do not judge me thing has gone way over the top, and to the point that everybody, if you even comment on what anyone's doing, you're judging them. Well, come on. I mean, can we, but I think at the same time, if we're going to be that way, we also have to have a way of doing it in which we include ourselves. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, there was a lady across the street from me that where I lived, that had bushes that were clear up past her two-story windows. I mean, and hanging over onto the sidewalk, 5 feet. It was horrible. And one day I went over, and I hadn't lived there very long, and actually several years ago. But anyway, I went over, and I knocked at the door, and I asked her permission to cut everything back and to mow her lawn. And she said, sure, you know, if you want to. Well, she said, but I don't have any money. I said, I'm not asking for money. I just want to, you know, do this. And I said, look, I understand how it is. I've got a mother that's older. You can't. She goes, oh, no, honey. She goes, I didn't clean this place up when I was feeling good. But but anyway, the point being, you try to build that bridge, you know, by me saying that, you know, I know how it is when you get older. It's harder. You know, you can do that with everyone. Look, I want to talk to you about this situation, and look, here's my situation. So you include yourself even in their woe, if that makes any sense, so that they feel that you're not coming down on them as a superior, but you're trying to be a person of help and caring like you should be.
Well, and I think that that is lost somewhere. I don't, and I don't know why or where, but I do know sometimes there is a step left out. I know that. Much like the situation you were talking about, I have heard situations where a neighbor maybe doesn't like how a lawn is being taken care of or something of that nature, and instead of going over and having a conversation with that neighbor, they call the city, and the sheriff comes out and rattles their door and says, well, you know, your neighbors aren't very happy with how your lawn is. Well, that's not the way to create a good relationship with a neighbor.
No, it's really not. Now, on the other hand, if that person is doing something that's not legal, and if it's going above and beyond and causing people problems, and you've already gone that route and they blow you off, then, you know, I think people do. We have things like township trustees and councilmen and for a reason. I mean, they're there for a reason. They're there for the good of the whole community. And when somebody is putting a wedge in the cog of that wheel, you know, sometimes we do those things, but I think we can do them. There's an approach that we take to everything.
You know why it would never occur to me to do that, even if I had a neighbor who was not keeping their yard or something of that nature? The reason it would never occur to me to call somebody like that is because I would think that's not something that I want to burden those people with. That to me would take a lot of time to go and try to get somebody to, that's just more effort than I want to spend to get them to mow their lawn. For me. But that's just personal.
Well, most places do have ordinances, and all they're going to do is fire off a letter anyway.
Well, that's what, you know, and I also think, well, if the yard is as bad as I think it is, I can't be the only one who's noticing this. So where are the trustees? Where is the sheriff? Where are these
people? There's where it lies. There's
why do I have to call them?
Exactly. I shouldn't have to call you. You know, that should be something that I shouldn't be. Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, and I think there's a difference between a lawn that's not mowed and a landfill.
There are. But, you know, some people do live in landfills. And, you know, this is, I'll never forget somebody telling me this, and it, there's a street in Marion, and I won't say the name because maybe some people are listening over there and like it this way. But there's a street in Marion where there are houses that still have dirt floors.
Wow.
Now, this
is... Did they start out that way, or did they just go to dirt over years?
I think they started out that way.
Seriously?
Yeah. Wow. And I did not believe that for a long time. And then I knew somebody who lived over there. And I never had been to their house, but I had to go there to pick up something one time. And it's true. It is true. Now,
wow.
I don't, you know.
They don't have to in this day and age.
You wouldn't think.
No, they don't have to. And that's part of it, too. And, you know, the thing is, you know, back with, you don't want to impose on people. But I think they need to realize sometimes that they're imposing on you and your enjoyment. And maybe that stuff that's, you know, I don't. See, here's the problem. When you start even talking about this stuff, suddenly you're being unkind. And the point is that goes back to that personal responsibility. That goes back to that community. You know, in the city of Marion, for instance, or most cities, if they had a show place they wanted to show off, like a new visitor center or a museum or something they were promoting, and someone started doing something next door to that, they'd be, oh no, you know, this is going to hurt our attendance. People are going to, and they do something, but. The point is that we all need to learn to live together and care about what each other does. You know, sometimes you just can't get anywhere. There's a house in Prospect that doesn't have a bit of paint on it, had it in years. And I know that the church offered to paint it as a project. They said no.
Well,
wasn't going to cost him a dime.
But you know, sometimes there are underlying reasons for these things, and I did not realize this. But I'll tell you, this story maybe is worth telling. It just reminded me of Shakespeare, and one of the only Shakespeare books I ever remember reading in high school was Great Expectations. Which, if you've never read Great Expectations, basically there is this character in there named Miss Havisham. And she was jilted on her wedding day, so she goes around the rest of her life wearing her wedding dress and never leaving her house. And her house gets old and decrepit and things of that nature. Okay, so one time there was a house that I knew of in Marion that wasn't being kept up very well. It reminded me of that. It paint job hadn't been done in years, and everything was falling apart, and the church or porch was a little bit collapsed. And there was stuff in the yard that hadn't been there for years. And somebody went, because we have a lot of churches in this area that pick a day. I think so. They do it every Sunday in the summer, every Saturday, something like that. And they go and they just help people out. You know, they'll build wheelchair ramps and all that.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah.
We do that.
So they went to this place because clearly it was in need of help. And the lady who was there refused. Even though it was no money and it was a church and the whole thing. And they asked her why. Why are you refusing this? And she said, my husband used to take care of all this. And since he died, I don't want anything done. It was a mental thing with her.
Well, I think in most of these people's cases, it is a mental thing.
Yeah.
I mean, to live in squalor when there's no reason for it. Is obviously a mental thing. Would you agree?
I would say, but I don't know. See, I don't know.
No, I'm not calling her place squalor, but I'm saying there's people that do live in squalor when there's no reason
right.
for it.
But I don't know. See, mental is such a wide range.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, if you're a hoarder, that's something different. That's, I think, a disease of the mind that maybe needs to be fixed. If you are one of the depression people who won't leave the house, that's a whole other issue. But with this woman, that's not a normal thing, but I think it was grief-driven. And that is a little, because she still could feed herself. She still could eat. I'm sure she was on some kind of medication at that age.
But, you know, it goes back, and I got to say this for real quickly. Only on this show will you go from talking about yards that are landfills to Shakespeare in one breath.
Yeah, boy, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good breath.
Yeah. But anyway, that is when I go right back to where we started with, we have a personal responsibility when we know people that are struggling in these areas to try to help them, because obviously there's people that, like the lady that you said, my husband did this. There's obviously probably family, there's people that know her that could try to comfort her, try to help her get back on some. This is where we've lost a lot of this in America. Everyone is so isolated. We're just literally not doing that. And I think that we have, I'll tell you, I had a lady one time that I did some work for years ago, And she had decided, she was an older lady, and she had decided that I don't know the levels of Avon, you know, as far as, I think the President's Club you or something like that, you had to sell so much a year. Well, she decided that she wanted this designation every year. Well, she didn't know that many people, and she didn't get out much. But her, she had quite a bit of money because of the area that she lived in became very sought after and developed, and they sold the family farm, and she got a share of that, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, this lady would order Avon constantly and had no one to sell it to, and for years she had been stacking it in her house. I went in this lady's house, and you could get into the kitchen right off the back door, and off the kitchen was a little bathroom, and then there was a hallway made of boxes that formed the hallway that went to a couch in the living room where she slept. And the entire rest of the house was floor to ceiling packing boxes of Avon that had never been opened. Now, that's a mental situation. Man, if her house would have ever went up, it would have went up.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is that, you know, family sometimes needs to step in and say, hey, you know, Mom, you know, we value, you're worth, you don't need to have this award every year. We'll give you the biggest award in the world. You're a wonderful mom. You know, and help people through those times. But I think sometimes it's easier just to sit back and say people are weird or say they're trashy or say they're, you know, and you get that, but you talk. But then again, I don't know. We're just too isolated. I think that's why a lot of people don't go to church. I've heard people say, I don't want to go to church because I don't want people knowing my business. Well, they probably know your business anyway. You know, why not have people that care about you that can help you when you need something?
Well, but you know, I think it goes in the opposite direction too, because I do think there are some people who have a standard of what they want their house to be and what they want their yard to be, and they try to impose that on you.
This is true too.
And I think that can cause friction, and that, you know, not everybody is a gardener. Not everybody likes to go out and work in the yard. That's just not some people's thing. And if you can keep your grass cut to a normal level, and you can keep your yard looking okay, and maybe you do keep more things than other people keep. But if it's not inhibiting you, what's the judgment? But people will pass that judgment. I mean, I know somebody who is so far OCD that they will throw things away that they need.
Because they're OCD.
Yeah, because they cannot have it. Okay, write down this phone number for me. Okay, I write down the phone number. A week later, can you give me that phone number again? Well, I just gave it to you. I can't find it. Well, I know what happened. You threw it away because you could not stand to have it sitting there. Now, that's in the opposite direction.
It is. And, you know, I know people that this, honestly, that will, if they're mowing their grass and they accidentally went one, the wrong direction at one time and you can see it, they'll remow their whole yard. I mean, that's going the opposite direction. But the only time that's harming people or imposing on people would be if you demand that your neighbor do the same thing. And you know, it's interesting. How do we get on landscaping today? But anyway, it's okay.
It's interesting.
It's over the back fence, right?
It certainly is.
But I remember growing up and back when they had horse and buggies, and there was a landscaper didn't exist. I mean, there might be some commercial landscapers that would be working with large companies, but I remember that I mowed lawns with a guy that mowed lawns. Now, there were lawnmowers, guys that go out and mow lawns at businesses, and I remember a guy giving me some work when I was in. But back then, everything was push mowers. It didn't matter how big it was. You were using a push mower. But we didn't have all this keeping up with the Joneses, so to speak, as they call it, and everyone happening to have a perfectly landscaped yard and not doing it themselves. We had a beautiful yard growing up, but my mother literally slaved in that yard to make sure it looked the way she wanted it to look. She didn't care what the neighbors did, but she loved her flowers. She loved her garden. She cut her grass, and or we cut the grass. She did the other end of it, but this is an interesting day we live in, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting to the degree that, you know, yard work can be a lot of work. But some people, even though they slave over it, they really enjoy it. That's a hobby of theirs.
I do.
Well, it always reminds me, because I had a grandmother who always liked to be outside. Always liked to be outside. And she had long retired and was up in her late 70s. And she had moved in after a while because she certainly would. She used to love to push mow yards. I don't know why, but she just liked being out there and doing that sort of thing. And she moved into a retirement community. Well, in a retirement community, you don't have your own yard. You have your apartment. And I remember one day she asked me to stop by and get her some potting soil. And I thought, what do you need potting soil for? You know, you live in an apartment. But I got it. And I went up there, and she wanted, which most people would just throw it away. She had been to a funeral, and somebody had given her a live plant at the funeral, and it was outgrowing its pot. So she wanted to replant this pot in her apartment in her late 70s. I don't even know. I mean, it was an apartment. You couldn't even set it outside. But she liked doing that sort of thing because she had always done it.
Man, she must be related to me. I do that.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I just there was a very dear lady in Prospect that just passed away recently, and I have one of her potted plants in my office, taking care of it, trimming it, clipping it, getting it back in shape. I will repot it at some point. The point is, yeah, because I do enjoy doing that. I love watching things grow and be alive. So, yeah, I guess everybody has their own little thing they want to do. But, you know, the care of each other, when you look at community pride. Remember that old saying? People had pride. I live in such and such a place, and we're going to make it nice. I know that every year we have what's called Creation Care Day. And we get together, a couple of the churches get together in town, and we get our kids and we go out on a Saturday and work up and mulch and replant all the beds at the entrances to Prospect. We do the cemetery around the flagpole and the memorial area and the beds downtown. We just go through and do it because we want it to be nice. But where is... What I'm saying is we don't see much of that anymore. And even that's a one-year event. Maybe some of us don't do anything the rest of the year. But I just think that we would be far better off if we got a little more involved in each other's lives and actually got out and experienced each other more than we do.
Well, one of the big problems in a community right now is that there is always somewhat of a divide. And a lot of times it's not even a money divide, but sometimes it is. There is a divide of people who are a part of things and people who are not a part of things. And I never see any community. Now, they'll keep doing the same things over and over and over with the same people, coming to the same events, doing the same things, and they'll do it year in and year out, and they never reach out. And by reach out, I don't mean go to them. I mean just... make it more appealing to this other group of people to maybe they would want to come to this event. But it's never done. And there is a great group of people, work hard, like their lives, but they don't feel inclusive in the community. So why would they care about the projects that these other people are working on when it's clear those people don't care about them?
Yeah, exactly, and that's another aspect and facet of this is that many times the people that I'll go to elected officials, I'll go to people that are in charge of a festival or whatever, they just want to be in charge, and they really don't want to take that beyond being in charge, and sometimes are even afraid of outsiders coming in that could outshine them. And that's not why they're doing it and why it's supposed to be there in the first place. I know that we have our community day in the park, our church, the Community Christian Fellowship does, first Saturday in October. And we'll do it again this year, first Saturday in October. And we try to be so inclusive and knock on doors, talk to people. You know, we want everybody there to enjoy that day. And I just think that it would be wonderful to have more of that community spirit around. I'll give you another example. You know, say you have a club in town. Rather than leaving everybody not going to that thing, whatever it may be, what happens? They go somewhere else the minute there's a sign of, well, so-and-so doesn't want to do this, or they don't want to do that, or I'm not being a part of this. But rather than getting involved and seeing that, what can I do to help? You ever hear that one? It's kind of like in the church, people come up to you and they'll say, you know, and we haven't had this in a long time, and I'm just giving it as an example. If someone will come up and say, boy, youth group really stinks. You know, we need to do something with youth group. And I heard you say something like this last week. Well, are you willing to help? What's your idea? You know, what are you willing to do to step out to see that this thing works better than it does? You know, it's easy to complain, but when you put it back on the complainer, you know, even if they don't help, they may begin to get a perspective of, oh, yeah, you're right.
Well, you know, in that note, there's something I always do. If there are some people who just live in the world of being accusatory about certain things. And what I have learned to do is, and a lot of times they'll do it in front of other people, because if they did it in private, who would care? You know, they wouldn't get their fun out of why they're doing it.
I call those Trump haters.
There you go. Well, what I do now is, and I wish most people would adopt this philosophy, even if it's not true, if I'm in front of a group of people and somebody comes up and says something, even if I know it's not true, I'll say, yep, that's what it was. Because they don't expect that answer. And what are you going to say to that? Because you're waiting for me to deny it. And then you can go on your diatribe about how awful I am. Why? I just told you I did it. That's exactly what I did. Now, how can they... And then they look foolish in front of that group of people, because where do you go? What do you say to that? I mean, if you accused me of something... And I just said, yep, you're right.
I have a tendency just to want to smile and give up smile and just kind of blow it off. That kind of is the same thing, isn't it?
Well, I just...
Without a response.
Because they want a response.
Yeah, you should never respond to personal attacks. I learned that a long time ago.
Don't complain. Don't. You know, there used to be a saying. Don't complain, don't explain.
Complain, don't explain. That's a good saying. I personally, you know, I've found over the years that, you know, being a Christian, that when personal things happen like that, I just give them to God, because He can handle them far better than me. And I wash my hands of it. I just say, you know, Lord, here, this is yours, because I can't deal with it. And I know it's going to happen if I get vocal about it. So please deal with it. And you know, I shouldn't say surprisingly, but it is surprise the wrongs were. Maybe it's just interesting to see how that takes place after that. You know, I've always said this, and I tell people this, when people will come to me and they're upset and they want to talk about someone that has been disingenuous about them, or started a story or anything like that, or shed a bad light on them. And I counsel people that, you know what, the cream rises to the top right along with the truth. And the truth always comes to the top. It does. I mean, the truth will eventually surface. And if that person is doing that to you, they're probably doing it to others.
You know, I used to think that the truth will always come out. But it's interesting, because this is kind of like the conversation we had about 3 months ago about... interestingly enough, we had this conversation about the Sally Jesse Raphael talk show.
Yeah.
And to me, it's the same principle. Because, and I'm going to shorten that story up, but basically, if you don't remember who she was, Sally Jesse was a very popular talk show host, and she was on for 20 years. Big red glasses. And for the first 18 years, her show was a very proactive show. They did shows on Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and they had people like Audrey Hepburn on to talk about UNICEF, and Jerry Lewis was on talking about Labor Day telethons, and that's the type of show it was. And then...
Good variety show.
Then the Jerry Springer group came into television, which was fighting and busting with chairs and, you know, girls.
Now there's Judge Jerry.
And here we are. Like I said, and this group came in, and all of a sudden everybody started to watch that. And so they went to Sally and said, well, you've got to do the same type of thing because you have to be like him. And she said she fought it, and she fought it, and she fought it, and then eventually she did it because she couldn't fight it anymore, because in her mind she thought, just what you said, that they'll only watch that for so long, but they'll watch it forever. Judge Jerry, here we are 30 years later, they're still watching it. So I don't know if the truth, I would like to think it does.
Well, I think that, you know, that in that particular situation, people love dirt, you know, and I don't know what it is about that. Maybe it feels them better, makes them feel better about themselves if someone else looks worse, I suppose. But what I mean is, by the truth coming out, is that typically someone that will stoop to the level of lying about you for their own personal reasons will do it to others. And before too long, people begin to realize that. You know, it's real interesting that there is, you know, in the Bible, and when it talks about someone that is going to be a pastor or a deacon, in Timothy it talks about how, you know, they are to be basically, essentially, live a life that they're viewed on the outside in a positive manner. Well, the truth is that a lot of times things happen that people try to ruin that relationship. And because obviously if you're going to be teaching the Bible, you better have people have a positive light about you. But here's the thing. If that person that's being lied about is doing what they should and living the life they should, people will see that and they'll say, you know, come on, I'm not buying that. You know, this guy, you know, you can say that all you want, but from that day forward, I have never seen that in them. I haven't seen it in them since. And they'll begin to question the other side. I guess what I'm saying is don't worry about it. You can't fix it. The only thing you do by going after it is build up their head of steam. Like you said, when you say, yep, that's right,
yep,
you shut them down. It's the same kind of thing. Yep, that's right, and just go your own way because they're going to do what they do.
Yeah, and I just don't understand having that conversation. I just, because I think that's clearly what they want, or they want you to deny it, or they want you to feel bad about it. Well, okay, I you're right. That's what happened. You got me. I'm that type of person. Because I do fall back on what you're saying is that the people who they're telling it to, well, if they're your friends and they know you, I hope they wouldn't believe it. I mean, that to me is the real problem.
I don't think there's usually a problem with your friends not believing it. I think it's when something really gets out there and exploded, you know, which really happens to people, unfortunately. I think that many times our media jumps too quick, and then they have to do a retraction, but it's already out there. And people do the same thing, you know, spread a story before they know the truth. You know, that kind of a thing. But, you know, I think that there's that thing of worry about what you're doing. Don't even worry. Decide that what you're going to do is the right thing all the time. Is this something I should do? Is this something God would want me to do? Would God be happy with what I'm doing right now? If you're living in that mode, I think that you're going to be okay, and people are going to see that, and it's going to be something that, and you can overcome. A lot of people think that they're doomed to who that they're past, and that just is so untrue. I mean, you're not doomed to your past. You know, you decide that you're going to have a change in your life. You decide you're going to turn your life around, and you do it. And, you know, anybody can bring up something you did in high school or in college, or whatever the case is, you know, they're going to do that. Just let them go. You know, I know a guy today that I guarantee you, if we were in a group of people and we were having a conversation, that he would intentionally bring up something really ridiculous that I did 40 years ago just to make me look stupid.
Well, there you go.
And I think that we also, my daughter sent something to me yesterday that was a really good thing about, how long do we tolerate toxic people that we're around? And, you know, as we're supposed to love everyone, we truly are, But I think you can love someone without being around their toxicity, and letting it be part of what affects you every day, and letting them drag you down. And sometimes I think you have to tell people, you know, your behavior is toxic and I can't deal with it anymore.
Well, you know, this is fascinating because I saw a show on the Columbus News yesterday. I just happened to catch it as I was 3-minute news story as I was going, and I had never heard about it before, and I was going in and out of a room. But the story was, and I'm sure a lot of people saw this because I believe it was on all the news channels yesterday in Columbus. There's a lady in Columbus, and I can't remember her name, but in 2013, 9 years ago, she was having trouble with her diabetes, and she was driving her car. And in the bicycle race in Columbus, at the bicycle race, there was a man who was on a bicycle, who I think was a teacher, and she hit him and killed him. And he was dead. And, of course, that's manslaughter. She didn't intentionally kill him, but she also shouldn't have been behind the wheel of the car because she was having these medical issues. And they took that into account. And they did put her in jail. I think she got a 6-year sentence, but she served 3 for good behavior.
Wow.
And, yeah.
I mean, that to me, I realize she killed the guy, but, I mean, I see people that have been drunk driving deaths get less than that.
Oh, it gets worse. So they put her in jail. She serves her 3 years. She gets out, and she goes back to apply for her driver's license. This is not an older lady. She got to work. She got to move. She got to do something. And the family of the person who was killed says, you can't have your driver's license back because of what you did. So now it's in front of a judge. Now the judge is tending toward giving her back her license because he doesn't really, I mean, if you served your time and you what's left to do? You know, why are we going to punish you for the rest of your life? But I looked at that family and I understand people are sympathetic to the family because the guy was killed. I understand that.
Oh, absolutely.
But 6 years after his death, you're showing up in court to try to prevent that. She has been in jail for 3 years. You're showing up to try to get her not to have her driver's license back. Are you really worried that she's going to do that again?
No, you're wanting vengeance.
That's a vindictive thing to do,
yeah,
I think.
Very vindictive thing to do.
And I think, wow, out of a tragedy, 6 years later, I can't even imagine 6 years after somebody's death, even if it was tragic, still trying to do something like that. You're stuck in the past. You have not moved on.
Yeah, I would. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was very blessed to have a mother that was such an example of someone that was forgiving with with other people. Now I won't even get into the story, but I remember one time, if I told you the story, you would say, "How could she ever forgive that person?" But my mom not only forgave this person, but she brought them into her life and helped them with their life and helped them give them a better life. And what an example that was to me growing up to see that. And I really have a problem holding grudges. I mean, I don't hold grudges. Now there's people that I really struggle with what they're continuing to do. You know, if someone's got an attitude, if someone has, something I really struggle with, and I mentioned this last night in a Bible study, and my daughter looked at me and goes, "Yep, that's you, Dad." I really struggle with arrogance. People that are just arrogant about everything they do, or even about a lie, that can live this vicious lie living and are just cocky about it. And that's one of the things you have, you know, that everyone says, there's one thing that goes right through me. Well, that's the thing that I think goes through me more than anything else. But other than that, if somebody is, you know, willing to change course, I'll throw a grudge right out the window. I mean, it's not that I hold a grudge anyway. But if you come to me, if you've wronged me, Scott, and you come to me and you say, "Hey, Steve, let's make this right." Or say I go to you and say, "We need to make this right." And we haven't decided that, you know, "I'm sorry, the situation. Let's start afresh." I start fresh. I don't hold that. You know, I'm not going to walk away and say, you know, saying, "Well, you know, we'll see how this goes." No, I start fresh with people. And I think we need to do more of that. We need to accept that people make mistakes and move on from there. But that doesn't mean you continually let them make the same mistakes and hurting you over and over again. But you walk away. You know, you distance yourself from that situation. But I think that we really need to be a people with more of a forgiving heart.
Well, you know, I...
That's even the neighbor that has the landfill.
Well, and there are levels to that, I think, because there is nobody who I would completely black out in my life. So I guess I don't carry a grudge in that way. But I also don't forget what they did. I don't know how you, people say, well, I forgot that and I'm over it. Well, you might be over it, but I don't know if you forgot it.
Well, we're going to remember, but how are you remembering it? Are you remembering it in a way that just still burns me that they did that? And I that's holding a grudge.
Well, if it's to me, I can move right past that. Because that is for me to forgive, and that's for me to move on. But if you did it to somebody else, then
I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's not
somebody you love, someone you care about.
It's not my thing. I mean, I can't say if they would have liked that. I can't say if they would have thought that was okay. I don't know. I can talk to you. I'm not going to hold that type of grudge. I'm not going to bring it up every time I see you. But do I know that... I still think, why did you do that?
Yeah, but I think the same thing has to come back to us, too, is that they made it, the things that we've done. Do we want people constantly saying, why did you do that? Why did you... You know, I've made gross errors in my life, and I think that we all have. And if... you know, the Bible verse, everyone says, the Bible says, don't judge. You know, the verse is basically saying is don't judge, lest you be judged by the same measure in which you judge others. That's so in other words, you know, it doesn't say to tell the truth. It doesn't say to repeat what scripture says, but what it says is don't. If you're going to judge, be prepared to be judged by the same measure in which you judge them.
Well, and I think that's right. I don't think you continue to ask them. I'm not even sure if you ever bring it up again. I think in your life, though, there are things that are questionable, and if you asked them, they wouldn't tell you the truth anyway. I mean, time has passed, and why would you? I mean, truthfully, and especially if they don't think they did anything wrong.
Let it go, right?
Yeah, they don't care. But I also don't believe in being foolish enough to say that, because how do you ever really know if people have changed? You don't.
Well, I think that, you know, we just have to tell them, like I said, you know, we're going to start fresh right here. It doesn't mean that I don't know they have a tendency to do that thing.
Well, that's it.
And I'm not going to keep that's and, it. And I'm going to be a little more on guard for that situation if it were begin to arise.
That's what it is.
And I think we agree on that.
Yeah, that's what it is. I'm not saying
I think we're out of time too.
We're close. I'm not saying punish them forever, but I think you in the back of your mind, you haven't forgotten what happened, and maybe you would want to be aware, on the lookout for that behavior again. And maybe it'll never show up.
Hey, if the person was had a stealing problem, I'm not going to leave them alone in my house for 3 hours and tell them to watch my house while I'm gone.
Even if you forgave them.
Even if I forgave them.
There you go.
There you go.
This has been a fun show today.
Yeah, it has. You know, I want to encourage everyone. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. Sunday morning, 10:30. Love to have you there. At Community Christian Fellowship. But this has been a great show, Scott. I've enjoyed being here.
Absolutely, and it'll replay Sunday morning, 9:10 to 10 a.m., and next Tuesday, 6:10 to 7.
Of time.
I just about didn't survive that. Oh, my goodness.